You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
On the latest Cinephile, by the way, DraftKings, we love DraftKings. DraftKings has a great sponsorship right now available with the Sopranos prequel. After the film, our friend Ashley Rick's hooking me up. So my beautiful wife and I went to the Sopranos after party. I don't mean to name drop, Dan. Ethan Hawke, James Franco, Leslie Odom Jr., David Chase, Stevie Van Zandt, John Bernthal, Vera Farmiga. I'm sure I'm missing a few along the way. Pretty cool time.
I think that's a name drop.
Were you hammered? It was a very long name drop. A lot of names.
An awesome one.
A ton, yeah. a manifesto of names. Were you drunk? Were you annoying? Were you saying, hey, did you like the ending of The Sopranos? Did you hate it? Who were you at this thing?
No boozing, but I was definitely annoying. Steve Buscemi walked by with his wife, and my wife is just aghast. Like, she loves celebrities, so she just kind of stares. So Buscemi was polite enough to be like, oh, how are you? How are you doing? And then I said, can my wife get a picture with you? And he said, I'd rather not do that. I said, okay, that's no problem. And I said, I loved you. I just listened to my Mark Maron's podcast. I said, hey, great job. You're a former firefighter talking about 9/11. He's like, oh, thank you very much. He went on his way. And then we were going to get another picture, and I realized, okay, nobody here is taking pictures. This is a very exclusive after party. Everyone's here just hanging out, chilling. If you start asking James Franco for pictures, you're going to get thrown out. So there was an immediate faux pas there with Buscemi, who handled it with grace, let's say. And after that, I saw Michael Gandolfini, James's late son, who's tremendous in the movie, just shook his hand, talked for 10 seconds. Great. Had some more hors d'oeuvres, a little more New York cheesecake, some pasta. Mm. But honestly, if somebody was watching us, they would be clearly aware that we did not fit in. Like, every single conversation was people who knew each other, writers, directors. And then there's me and my wife just kind of loitering, staring at people.
Can you imagine a hammered Adnan? I can't. Like, have you been hammered before? Like, just stumbling drunk?
No, never. I would never imbibe to that level. It's just not. As you've noted, Stu, I'm already a little bit of a loose cannon as it is. I couldn't imagine what would happen if I was uninhibited.
You are a loose cannon. Chris, is Adnan, the last time we did one of these, we're doing another one tomorrow night. It's Red Sox Yankees. Mike Scher should be a delight whether they're winning or losing because he really suffers these things. But the last time we did one of these on YouTube, Adnan came in and provided us our most awkward moment, thundered in. Adnan knows a lot about baseball. I want to hear from him on our baseball coverage because I think around here, it's him and Scher at the top of the list of caring about baseball.
And Billy.
No, I don't believe that Billy cares about baseball the way these guys care.
24 hours removed from telling us he's given up on the season.
He's given up on the Marlins season. Billy and Chris,
I mean, why wouldn't he, though?
Are framing this show for us tomorrow. And Roy is going to be there as well. Last time, it was very awkward. You came on and read a passage about someone masturbating a basset hound.
Dog masturbation always trumps baseball, Dan. It's just the rule that Adnan lives
by. I don't feel like him and Scher got along. So are we going to try that again, or are we going to be done with that?
Well, here's the thing. I do have to work, but Cody told me I have to make an appearance. And since you're putting me on the spot, Dan, I feel like I should be able to at least make an appearance tomorrow night. So I never want to disappoint the audience. I don't know if I can top that story about a dog. But listen, I thought it was a good story. I've defended myself, and I think it's totally fair. I was talking to a writer, and I just read a book about a writer by Mark Harris, who was talking about a great book, the Pictures of the Revolution, which is the 1967 movies, and Bonnie and Clyde, The Graduate, et cetera. And one of the stories is about Dr. Doolittle, not the Eddie Murphy movie, Rex Harrison original film. And
again,
his wife was
again,
so
we're getting
blasted.
The story. We're going to get the whole story again. It doesn't matter. Yeah. There was a masturbated basset hound. That's it. Tune in on YouTube. We don't need to hear the whole story again. We've already heard it.
The point is, in this whole battle, which you're concocting of Virk versus Scher, there's no battle. Like, I was correct to bring it up. It's a great story. Anybody who's read the book highlighted the story. Mike clearly just wasn't in the mood for it. But if you ask anybody, they'd be like, I thought that was a great story. It wasn't awkward. Nothing awkward about it. Ask Amino Hassan. That was a funny story. It's a good thing to bring to the table.
He was
a 3.5-hour baseball game. I'm just giving you something different.
He was erect to bring it up.
Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and talk about baseball because, Adnan, there's so much cool stuff happening. The AL East.
Thursday, Chris, is a dangerous game.
It really is.
Don't put your fingers at Chris, I mean.
It's like Bo Wallace. You don't know if you're going to get the good one or the bad one.
The baseball is interesting, Adnan. I don't know why, but I'm interested in the Cardinals and the Brewers. What are you finding most interesting? The Giants... I don't understand. I just don't understand how the Giants are staying with the Dodgers.
Yeah, let's start there, Dan. I did a lengthy 5.5-minute essay on the Giants and their greatness this year because every single person I work with, every even casual fan of baseball says, hey, nice story, but the Dodgers are going to win the World Series, right? They won last year. They're loaded once again. Scherzer's going to win his fourth Cy Young Award. He's got a 2.08 ERA. But this Giants team, I mean, they're like Rasputin. They just won't go away. And maybe because their starting pitching appears on paper to be underwhelming. If I throw you the names Kevin Gausman, Anthony DeSclafani, Logan Webb, Johnny Cueto versus the Bueller, Scherzer, Kershaw, Urias, you say, okay, Dodgers. But their offense, Dan, what I've noticed with the numbers is that if you look at OPS Plus, one of my favorite metrics for analytics, they've got like the most guys with 115 OPS Plus and above. I know you guys know this, but for those who are not aware, 100 is league average. Anything above that is a positive player. So 115 and above means like they've got a lot of really good hitters and a lot of guys who have just exceeded expectations. Posey's back to his previous level. Crawford's having the season of his career. But they just got other players, obviously the Chris Bryant trade. But everybody just is above average. So if you look at their lineup, maybe they don't have sexy names like the Dodgers, but Bellinger's out. Seager's been inconsistent. I don't think the Dodgers are necessarily the favorites. And all year, I've been waiting for everyone to say, hey, this is a nice story about San Francisco, but they're going to fall apart, right? There's a week and a half left in the season. There's still two games up on Los Angeles. And I do think the Dodgers would win that wild card game against the Cardinals. But this is a Cardinals team, which you mentioned, has won 11 straight games. Nolan Arenado is the first Cardinal to drive in 100 runs since 2012 for that team. It's his sixth season of 100 RBI or more. That's the sixth most ever by a third baseman in baseball history. He and Goldschmidt are defensive wizards, along with being great hitters. Bader plays a terrific center field. Tommy Edman's been a great leadoff hitter, and I'm bearing the lead. The Canadian, Tyler O'Neill from Burnaby, BC, has been tremendous for them. He has been so good for their offense. And Adam Wainwright, at 40 years of age, is back to being an ace. I was pulling for the Padres, Dan, because I adore Tatis. He's still my pick for MVP. He just hit his 40th home run last night. Enough with the Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's had an incredible second half, but Tatis, start to finish, has been the better player. He's got the higher WAR. He's scored more runs. He's hit more home runs, has more RBI, but the Padres flailing at the end. The Cardinals are obviously going to make the playoffs.
Does everything need a plus? I just came around on OPS. And now it's like OPS plus. I mean, Jesus, man.
It's a great metric.
OPS Fantastic. Is a good enough stat.
No,
like
it's not.
OPS because tells me enough.
OPS plus, what it does is it sets an average at 100.
Get over
and
yourself.
And then you're going, if you're well above 100, you're well above average. If you're below, then you're well below average. It gives you a frame of reference. OPS, you can get it. But OPS plus, it gives you that frame of reference.
Witty's 100% right. Oh, listen, Cody, it brings into context other matters, as Witty knows. The field, obviously, not all fields are the same, not like in basketball or football or hockey. So it's different dimensions, different quality of strength of schedule, et cetera. OPS is fine, but OPS Plus gives you a little more juice.
Cody, put it on
Schmontex.
Cody, put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Does everything need a plus at Le Batard Show? Adnan, I also believe, as well as being one of our top baseball authorities, I believe that it's between you and Whittingham for best play-by-play person that we have around here. And yesterday, what are you laughing at? Don't laugh at Whittingham.
I believe that's a shallow pool. I didn't think I was up there. Whitty, I'm sure, blows me out of the water. I can't believe I'm number two. I apologize. Go ahead.
I'm a close third. I mean,
we are going to try something here. If you want to partake, great. If you don't want to partake, that's fine too. If you just want to be an arbitrary measurer of this or a judge, it's fine. But we were trying to get something off the ground yesterday. We were saying that a basketball player, it would be cool if somebody just changed their name to just a. If we could get some sort of play-by-play in, Mike, are you judging my...
No, it's good. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I'm jealous, too.
I don't know how to do it. I'm just...
That was better. So if there were a player that was simply named... No.
Stick the landing.
I feel like one's going to come out of my mouth. You have a K at the top.
Yeah.
No last name. So, Whitty, can you do this? Can you do this on the fly? Can you do it ad lib? We will have Adnan judge it as we try it.
I believe the context that was offered was if the Ray Allen shot were made by a basketball player named
okay.
So
this is U.S. Mike Breen calling the biggest shot in the history of the sport to that time.
Yeah, I'll do like a radio style. Here we go.
Okay, hold on.
Pull up the video. You got to pull up the video.
I got it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
And Adnan is perched and ready to analyze this. Let's see what we've got. Whitty has no fear.
Spurs lead the NBA Finals by 3-2. They lead Game 6 by 3 points with 19.4 seconds remaining. Ray Allen inbounds to Mario Chalmers, defended by Tony Parker, as he carries it into the front court. Gets a screen from LeBron James. He takes it to the left corner. Bosch now setting a screen for LeBron, who rises for three. He misses. The rebound is out to Bosch. Pass out to for three, and it's gone! Tied the game! What a shot from 95-95, and they'll stop the game. Incredible scenes for three.
The kid is good, man.
He really is. it's just great. Adnan, you don't want to try. You don't want to try and rival that, right? You just
Dan, I was ready to give my own, but I heard that. I bow down in appreciation. That was outstanding. Four Maple Leafs, 10 out of 10, A+. Outstanding from downtown.
Now, hold on. What if we did the same thing, but instead of and the Ray Allen shot, we've got the home run by Castellano.
But it's a home run by Castellano. Yeah, we were thinking about that, but the home run is hit by someone named...
Right. Is that the best you got?
I'm not good at this.
Me neither.
A home run by...
It's not. That's not a very good sound. That does not sound. It sounds like a dribbler, an infield, a fielder's choice is what you guys just produced. It has.
There's
to
a 72 hopper to short.
What's a homer sound like? Can someone try it? I mean, besides me and Mike,
the crack. I think a homer sounds like just a clock. No,
I don't think like any crack, of us. Right? These are all singles and bloops and fielder's choices.
We asked this yesterday. What about a College World Series home run?
Yeah, that's a bing. Yeah, exactly. Metal bats. Good job, Amin. Yep.
Okay, yes. Not a good job, Amin. It wasn't any good as a segment yesterday. It's not any better rehashed, recycled, and rewarmed.
We have broadcasters now, though.
Cinephile, Adnan, you're remembering Norm Macdonald on it. I've been just consuming a lot of Norm Macdonald since his passing because his was such an unusual and awkward genius.
He has Norm on this week. I know that seems strange, but he pulled it off.
Yeah, back. Listen, we can all share Norm stories. I love when he was a prognosticator on your show. And I think I was watching Martin Short and Steve Martin speaking of comedy legends. They were on Fallon last night, and they were talking about Norm's genius. And I'm sure you've found this, Dan, and everyone else. When you're going back and watching all these clips, he was such a singular voice. Like, I think you appreciate comedy when someone's doing something that nobody else is doing. And he was so unique. He was so original. The rhythm of his jokes. And much like yourself, Dan, he was absolutely fearless. I mean, the amount of jokes I've been going through watching the stuff he said about OJ and the fact that Don Olmeyer is sitting there, a very famous NBC executive who was tight with OJ, saying, knock it off. And Norm's like, oh, you don't like this? I'll double down and do even more. It was amazing. And he was great when he came to ESPN and visited. Being Canadian, the first thing I asked him was about the fact he grew up in Quebec City. And he said, as you know, being Canadian, the English and French have a real issue. There's fighting back and forth. I'm like, yeah. He said, so in high school, there was an option to learn French. My dad said, no way, we're proud Anglophiles. You can learn Latin instead. And in Norm's delivery, his inimitable delivery, as he said, which was a real shame because there was a lot of French people walking around, but there wasn't any ancient Romans. He also had this joke from SNL, which I reminded him of. You can listen to it on Cinephile, his reaction to me retelling it, which was about when Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley file for irreconcilable differences. She's more of a stay-at-home mom. He's more of a homosexual pedophile.
Okay, very good.
The fact he would say that joke on television boggles me.
Are you someone who appreciates him and the awkward, the specifics of the awkward? Because I don't know that there were very many willing to drown. Just to stare at you, because I don't know if you were at the ESPYs. I also don't know. I don't know if the audience understands what it is to defy Don Olmeyer and get fired. I mean, that's a principled stand to get fired because you're going to make OJ jokes and you don't care that Olmeyer is OJ's friend.
A great example, Dan, of zigging where others are zagging is the roast, which I really enjoy the Comedy Central roast. But Norm, I listened to his podcast with Marc Maron, which they just released from 9 years ago. And Norm said, I don't really care for that style of humor, like just insult humor, et cetera. So I said, I'm going to do something different. Bob Saget asked me to come to the roast. And rather than assault him with the most painful, vicious dialogue that I could, I ended up using jokes from Retirement for Dummies, like Retirement for Work parties that I got from my dad. And he's doing these jokes and nobody in the crowd is laughing, like zero laughs. To your point, any other comedian is reversing direction. Let me go with some other bits, some other jokes. Okay, let me turn on some. But the comedians are loving it. Saget's doubled over. I mean, John Lovitz is losing his mind because they could appreciate the comedic genius that was Norm, that I'm not going to do what you expect me to do. I'm just going to stick with what I think is funny. And being true to one's convictions, dare I say, is inspiring, I think, for all of us. It was amazing.
Get out of here on that note. We will see you tomorrow night on YouTube with Mike Schur. Please, no masturbating basset hounds. Thank you, Adnan. We appreciate the time, sir.
I make no promises, Dan, but I will tell you, I just watched The Doors, the 30th anniversary of that movie, and I have to bring up to Mike Schur the fact that I would have thought Jim Morrison would be arrested for drugs, but no, he was arrested at one point for indecent exposure and simulating masturbation. And the lawyer says one scene, he goes, can anybody here tell me that they actually saw my client's genitals? So I look forward to discussing that with Mike tomorrow.
Okay. It is so strange, your desire to work.
Mr. Mojo Rising.
Whoa, that came out of nowhere. Adnan's desire to work blue, very strange. He's got an undercurrent of pervert that we need to mine a little bit. See you later.
Working with him.
He's been shackled by all this broadcaster Disney stuff, and he's like, Dan, finally, can I just work blue? I want to talk about masturbation. No one's got that corner of the sphere in the sports world. Can I just be the guy that always comes on and just has a story about masturbation?
Crazy.
Next episode name from Maynell Hassan, An Undercurrent to Pervert, coming soon to Cinephile.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
Dan Le Batard.
Listen, it could be Julius Randle's building.
How about that?
The Mecca.
Or it's Julius. The Mecca.
Stugatz.
Steve Martin was a prop comic.
You said that?
I said it 2 seconds earlier than you.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I think they just took like a wrench to a pole.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because... like,
no, can't do it. You can't do it.
Yeah, it's bad onomatopoeia if you're saying a word.
Bad what?
Onomatopoeia.
What?
That's like the verbalization of sounds.
Oh.
So it's bad onomatopoeia if you're like saying, so you're saying ping,
Buzz.
Buzz.
Buzz, yeah. But it's got to be like you're not saying swoosh. You're going.
But I could spell that like Q-O-H.
I think swoosh is an onomatopoeia.
It is.
Yeah.
I agree. Onomatopoeia.
I think fart is onomatopoeia.
Of course it is.
No, it isn't. Fart.
No, it's not.
Fart.
No.
Fart. Why not? What's the difference?
Fart. Fart.
Absurd take.
Fart. Fart. He's laughing at you.
Fart. Fart. No, it doesn't.
Fart.
Fart is not an onomatopoeia.
Fart.
I think barf is.
Barf is?
Barf definitely is. Barf.
Have you guys ever barfed so loud that you were like, barf?
I think I have actually.
I've hurled, but I haven't barfed. I've hurled.
Oh, I've yacked before too.
Yak. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think a barf feels better than a hurl though.
Piss. Piss is on with Pia, right?
Snake.
It starts with pss.
Snake is not an onomatopoeia.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh,
man.
Snake.
Love you having snakes making K sounds.
You guys lives in the Jungle Book. Snake.
You meant the animal? A snake? I thought it was a euphemism for something that went over my head.
Oh, boy.
You just meant a snake.
Week 3 of the NFL season begins tonight as the Carolina Panthers take on the Houston Texans from NRG Stadium in Houston. Davis Mills will get the start at quarterback in for the injured Tyrod Taylor. Yesterday, big news in the NBA as president of basketball operations Gerson Rosas was fired by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Sachin Gupta, the Timberwolves executive vice president of basketball operations, will take over. ESPN reporting that new T-Wolves owner Mark Lohr and Alex Rodriguez planned to relieve him of his duties at some point, but the process had been accelerating. And finally, a pig's orgasm can last as long as 90 minutes.
Wow. Man. Jeez.
Chris's wow.
It is.
That 90th minute, though.
It is a fairly shocking fact. Amin and Stugatz did something yesterday with Doc Rivers. I saw them scrambling because Stephen A. Smith got to it first, and then it was on First Take. They actually did it before Stephen A. Mm-hmm. did, but they didn't get it out before Stephen A. did. We will get to that in a second. You can check it out on Stupidity. But I wanted to ask Amin, Stephen A. Smith, the other day on First Take, after Woj was doing some reporting, Stephen A. Smith said, yeah, I reported that 2 weeks ago. And there was a little bit of bleep Woj. It's not a story when Woj says it is. It's a story when I say it is. And I said it 2 weeks ago that Simmons was never showing up there. And I find this entire situation fascinating for a lot of reasons. But as we're studying mental health stuff, as Amin and Tom Haberstroh and Kate Fagan and Howard Bryant do an hour about social media and where mental health impacts the athlete, because we're seeing a totally changed landscape now as some of these people talk about these things openly with a rare kind of vulnerability. We're seeing the entire landscape change. Well, wait a minute. Is Osaka allowed to control all the questions and the brand and cite mental health and then show up at the Met Gala looking for attention and people are judging? Well, how mentally frail or hurt are you really if you're willing to wear costumes and be seen? And this conversation is getting a little bit tricky, Stugatz, because...
Well, people don't understand, right?
Well, but you say people don't understand, but what are we dealing with Ben Simmons? You saw a short-circuiting unlike any we've ever seen in the playoffs where we're confused. Wait a minute, this great athlete doesn't want to shoot. And then right before training camp starts, he runs away. I'm not doing any of my professional duties. I'm on contract, and I don't know what it is. He's not citing mental health, but we just saw it short circuit, and we just saw it performance-related, nuke a franchise's plans.
I think what we saw is a guy who is very, very talented, a great basketball player, and went through a postseason in which his coach and his organization didn't appear to have his back, and that has scarred him, and he no longer wants to play for that coach and that organization.
Okay, I mean, but they didn't appear to have his back when he didn't appear as their star to have their front.
Totally like, agree.
He kind of ruined everything there and is now is fleeing the premises before confronting anybody, saying, I'm not stepping foot in the facility, make your own plans. I'm torpedoing the entire business.
But I don't think he views himself as someone who ruined everything there. That's a bit like that's a lot. That's Stugatz, a lot to put on someone. Stugatz, I think he thinks, hey, we're here because of me.
Philadelphia views him as ruining the entire plan.
Right.
He won't step foot in the city again until he plays in it, and then they will boo him and be cruel unmercilessly because of what's happened there. It's a really unusual thing we're watching happen where Doc Rivers was brought in to take Ben Simmons the next step. This was supposed to happen with Ben Simmons. He's like, not only am I not dealing with it in the fourth quarter, not only am I not dealing with it late in the playoffs because we're going to underachieve, I'm not dealing with it at all. I'm right. leaving. I'm not showing up. You can't get a hold of me. I'm nuking your entire plan.
But you're Doc Rivers, and your job is to take Ben. One of your jobs is to take Ben Simmons to the next level. He doesn't get to the next level, and then Doc Rivers comes out and puts it on Ben, and not himself. And Ben is Ben scored by that, obviously.
So that was interested about that because Doc was, that was the thing he was probably most adamant about yesterday, Stugatz with us, was I didn't do anything. I was asked a question and I said, basically, I just lost a big game. I don't feel like this is the time to talk about it. And he felt that everyone who was present in the press conference got what he was saying, but his words were misconstrued by everyone else into pushing Ben Simmons under the bus. I thought the most interesting thing he said yesterday, though, Stugatz, was you asked him, when was the last time you talked to Ben Simmons? And I thought he was going to say, like, June or something like that.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And it appeared to be a decent conversation, I guess. Yeah.
Let's hear some clips from Stupidity. You can hear the whole interview for yourself here with Doc Rivers. What happened? How hurt were you guys yesterday that you had the interview first? You were going to get out there before Stephen A. Smith, but then you look up at the television and you're like, oh, no, he got to Doc Rivers first. We're not going to get any of the publicity we should for getting Doc Rivers to make comments on this first.
Outraged.
But we did have some other questions that I'm pretty sure Stephen A. didn't ask. So.
Let's hear what we've got here from Stupidity if you want to check out the rest of it.
So we're all clear on this. You want Ben Simmons to return to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's but really not clear.
Right. Do you speak on behalf? Like, does Joel Embiid want Ben Simmons to return to the Philadelphia 76ers?
100%.
Okay.
We do. Does that mean it'll happen? I can't guarantee it's going to happen.
Right.
But that we want.
All right, yeah, he kicked me.
I'm kicking
Doc,
him
he's
right
kicking
now,
me bro. Right now. He's kicking me. He's got, yeah, I know you want to win, and he's a guy that can help you win. So he's an important piece.
Let's hear the question, please. There was a question that Doc Rivers didn't hear anywhere on First Take or as part of his tour.
True or false, Paul Pierce really sold that injury.
He sold it. Listen, I didn't see you guys at Advantage Point of TV. I didn't know anything about the wheelchair until after the game. So I'm thinking Paul Pierce tore his ACL. I did. Oh, I actually told my coaches, we're done. We're in trouble. And then he comes walking back out.
Right. Did he poop himself, Doc?
He probably did.
There it is. We got the nugget that finally. We wanted there. There. He probably did. Put it on the scroll. We have broken it down, the exclusive. Force ESPN to put it on the air and on ESPN.com. But, Amin, I want to talk to you about what is happening here. Because when you were talking about the mental health stuff, we have not seen a mental short-circuiting from a star like this in the playoffs in our lifetime. Mm. It's not something that we've seen, and I don't know if it's mental illness or frailty, but one of the things that Amin was saying in the mental health conversation is no matter how much compassion or sympathy you want to extend to Ben Simmons at a time when we can't simply say that Osaka is sitting out and is feeling a little weak, we have to turn her into a hero and a pioneer for doing so when she just wants to get out of the way and tend to herself. Amin is saying of Ben Simmons and anyone who might feel mentally frail, and there needs to be a distinction between mental weakness or frail in a moment and mental illness. Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you think the money's for? What do you think you're being paid for? You're being paid to not be mentally frail in the fourth quarter. You're being paid to not be mentally frail in a way that flees Philadelphia and nukes our entire plan. You're being paid. The job is you show up and you are your best self. And so from within there, it becomes hard as a professional executive, like Amin was, hey, I can be compassionate. I can be human. And also, do your bleeping job.
Yeah, it's funny because at the base of that analysis is, I've several listeners have pointed out, it's like, you guys went Stugatz on Ben Simmons. But, I mean, the key to Stugatz's whole thing, hey, if I was paid $100 million, I'd do whatever it takes, is there's an element of like, yeah, this is part of the job. We're not asking you to do something that's above and beyond. And while I can feel bad for someone failing in a big moment, what I can't do is absolve them of that, because that's what the money is for. That's why these people fight to be paid as high as they can possibly be with a maximum possible salary, is to indicate that I am prepared for the rigors of this job. And the really extreme example I used on the podcast was, look, if this is an issue, not just a moment of mental frailty, but like I'm not good at this part of it, maybe this isn't the job for you. In the same way that if you are vision impaired, maybe being a film editor is not the job for you.
But it's clearly a job for him. He's excellent at the game of basketball.
Yes, he is.
He's not good at one particular thing. That one particular thing he should get better at. He's a good enough athlete, I think, to develop a jump shot.
It's enough of that, right? I feel like that ship has sailed. Ben Simmons can't shoot, period.
All right,
That's not his problem. The problem isn't that he can't shoot. The problem is he refuses to shoot, right? That's why we look at Giannis and Ben Simmons differently, because there's an element of Giannis where he can't shoot, but we never feel like he is trapped by that.
I mean, though, if you refuse to shoot, you can't shoot.
No, but
those are synonyms.
No, they're not. They're not, because there's two types of guys. There's a guy that shoots and misses and shoots and misses and shoots and misses and shoots and misses. He can't shoot.
It's the same effect, though.
It's not.
Do you want
it's
him not shooting, though, Amin?
It's not that I want him shooting threes.
Right.
It's I want him to play aggressively. I want him to approach, like, I'm going to try and score, not, ooh, who can I give this to? Not me, because I can't be trusted with that. There's a difference in there. You command a certain amount of attention and pressure on the defense when you are aggressive. That's why Giannis taking those threes, even if he shoots 27%, means something, because the defense has to react in a certain way. The free throw thing, which is why presumably he passed it up, he didn't want to get fouled to shoot free throws. It's like the Shaq thing. Shaq would get fouled 40 times and make 25 of them, and you can say, wow, he missed 15 free throws, or he made 25 points at the free throw line, and by the way, a bunch of people are in foul trouble, and by the way, the team is in penalty, so everyone else who got fouled 90 feet from the basket goes up and shoots two easy free throws. There is a value to the aggression, and the problem with Ben Simmons isn't he's not making shots. It's that he is not taking them. There is no aggression, and hence the defense gets relaxed.
And Jackie McMullen said he took 21 mid-range shots last season. 21 mid-range shots. I feel like I've seen games where Jamal Crawford does it in a game.
Chris Paul did that a couple of times in the finals.
Eddie House would do that in like 17 minutes.
Are you guys with me on these things being synonymous, though, that if you refuse to shoot, the net effect is that you can't shoot? No one has to respect it. Everyone knows that it's so. Maybe you believe, I mean, that someone can unlock mentally, refuse to shoot, and turn it into a shooter. But to me, unless someone unlocks it, it becomes the same thing.
But the thing is that if you have Dwight Howard, you wouldn't say, well, at some point we'll get him to shoot threes. If you have Ben Simmons, the threat of it could be there if you just unlocked it. And I know we're several years in at this point. It probably is a lost cause, but it's a dynamic to your offense that could exist, that could make your team better if the guy would just do it. I understand what you're saying, which is that, okay, you don't have that skill. But if you could, because this player has this skill, it's immensely frustrating to not have it at your disposal.
To me, it comes down to, you're saying it's a net zero, right? If missing a shot is zero and not taking the shot is zero, then it's all zero. Who cares? And I'm telling you, no, by being aggressive on the floor, and I'm not talking about shooting threes. I'm talking about attempting field goals.
Right.
If you are not attempting field goals, you literally become someone we don't have to care about. I've seen it happen with Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio is the greatest thing since sliced bread. At 14 years old, playing with grown men, throwing these Pistol Pete passes, whatever. Got to the NBA, was not a good finisher, and then turned into a guy who, the layup, which is supposed to be the most desired shot in basketball, was something he didn't want to do. And so people started defending him based on he's not going to try and take this shot. And that takes away passing lanes, and it overall stunted who he became as a player.
What do you make of Stephen A. Smith saying, what's this story? Tell me what's real here and what's true, because Stephen A. Smith's information tends to be pretty accurate on basketball. He is saying, and Kevin Durant will call you out if you're not accurate, he is saying that Kyrie Irving would have been traded by the Nets already for Ben Simmons if Kevin Durant, not Sean Marks, Kevin Durant wasn't the GM of that team who's making the calls and saying you're not trading Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, Nick Wright is reporting that if Kyrie Irving is indeed traded, he will simply retire. His representatives are telling people that he will simply retire.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. You know, think about what Matt Sullivan told us about the dynamics, the inner workings of the Brooklyn Nets. With that in the context of your brain, what Stephen A. Smith said, not that surprising. It makes a lot of sense, particularly if you're looking at Brooklyn as a team that has an abundance of shooting and scoring in Durant and Harden. And what are they missing? They need defense. They need size. They need rebounding. It would appear to me like Ben Simmons would be the perfect fit. And ironically, for the Sixers, Kyrie would be a great solution as well. Someone who can make and take big shots and create off the dribble and not afraid to shoot as a counterbalance to Embiid.
I believe whatever it is that Stephen A. is saying, but Kevin Durant wants to play with Kyrie Irving. Yes. Kyrie Irving wants to play with Kevin Durant. Yes. That was the deal they made, and the deal they made with the Nets, and they run that franchise. So,
it comes down to that. And like Stugat said, Stephen A. is plugged in a way in basketball that I think people, because he's a generalist now and he does all these different sports and loses bets to Tim Tebow and stuff like that, we forget this dude's root is NBA coverage. So, I mean, he's not saying to me, it's nothing that surprises me.
You think that this trade, that Ben Simmons fits better with the Nets, you said yesterday you didn't love how he fit with the Warriors, even though I think that's the best fit for him.
I didn't say I don't love how he fits with the Warriors. I said I don't like giving up Draymond to get him, because I think Draymond brings something to the table that Ben Simmons to this point does not.
But you think the Nets are the best fit possible for Ben Simmons? That Kevin Durant just nuked out of loyalty what would have been the betterment of both the Sixers and the Nets?
Well, I think Durant thinks he can win either way with either player.
Right. I would
imagine.
Yeah,
but which team is better?
The Simmons with the Nets, I would say, is better than Kyrie with the Nets.
I would agree.
Unequivocally, I would say so. Yeah. But that's because I'm taking into account the things that they're not good at. But I could see Kevin Durant sitting there and being the basketball intellectual and saying, well, no, Kyrie is the most skilled basketball player who's ever walked the earth. How can you tell me Ben Simmons is better?
Ben Simmons is kind of relied on to be the second guy on the Sixers team offensively. Even though he can't shoot, he's unwilling to shoot. On the Nets, that would not be the case.
I always find
it wouldn't matter.
Right. I always find interesting. The Yankees did this. You don't see many examples of this. The Yankees did this. A-Rod gets there and is the better shortstop by any metric. Mm-hmm. But that's Derek Jeter's position.
Right.
So the team is going to say, we will move you to third, and we don't care if we're making ourselves an imperceptible amount worse. Jeter's the shortstop. Our best shortstop is playing third base. You guys are saying that Kevin Durant just made a choice on behalf of the Nets, that is the worst team. That
yep.
Kevin Durant yes. just got in the way of, and this is how it happens with the player empowerment, Stugatz. We're talking about two stories with player empowerment where it can get dangerous. One of them is there, where the guy making the choice out of loyalty is doing so emotionally that is not coldly saying, get me the better team. And then the other example we're looking at is Ben Simmons. Look at what it is that we're watching with Ben Simmons, where it's arrived. He's got all this money. And he lives in Kylie Jenner world, and
not anymore.
No. Well, he used to live in Kylie Jenner world. Now that's Devin Booker's world. But he doesn't have to show up.
Right.
He can nuke your entire blueprint. He can nuke 10 years of process by just not showing up, because that's how powerful they are. Doc Rivers can get there and say, yeah, I want him, but he doesn't have any real power.
I think KD looks at it and says, hey, without James Harden, you know, he was injured. Without Kyrie Irving, he wasn't playing. We still took the Bucks to a seventh game. And if I have those two guys, I'm going to win regardless. So why ruin my friendships over Ben Simmons and a team that's slightly better than the one that I currently have when I could win with those guys regardless?
There's a couple of things. One is, you said it when you described Jeter and A-Rod, putting A-Rod at third. the imperceptible difference, right? Like, there is a difference, but in the grand scheme of things, is it a really big deal? Second of all, what Stugat said, like, I wanted to play with this guy. This guy's my friend. Like, why, if I'm confident that I'm going to get the job done either way, why would I trade my friend?
Drive him to retirement.
For a guy that, you know, it's one of those, the devil I know versus the devil I don't. I don't know if this guy really has issues or was that just a bad moment. But why would I risk that, particularly when I'm giving up someone that I do enjoy playing with?
One more thing I wanted to get to here, sports related in this segment, is I was walking past the television today and the morning show on ESPN, TTKW, we're trying to kill Max. No, I got it wrong. WTTKM. Totally trying to kill Max.
Roll right off the tongue.
Yeah, it's not working. Whatever it is that the initials or the acronym for that show is, they've put Tua in the panic alert.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
They have an alert? A panic alert? I mean, Max is changing the game.
I'm kind of with him. I've kind of flipped in the last couple days.
Wow.
Hearing people talk about Mac Jones, seeing Kyler Murray, seeing obviously all these young quarterbacks, it's just... it's making me realize, even at his best, I think Tua is just a guy.
Whoa.
That's just a guy.
Wow. Just a guy.
And it hurts me. I want to cry saying it.
Is that like, just he's an dude? NFL quarterback. Just a guy.
Is it like just a dude? I heard you guys other day talking about you need a dude versus just
no,
a dude.
No, dude is a compliment. Yeah. Just a guy is an insult. And just a guy is, he cracked his ribs and that's it. Chris Cody's done with him.
I saw a highlight of the 9 plays he played against the Bills. I know it's a lot of O-line.
Like, and you're done?
That was not meant to highlight Tua's poor play. That was meant to highlight what a tire fire surrounds him.
That's true. But I just look at all these other quarterbacks. When I heard Dominique Foxworth just praising Mac Jones the other day, and I'm like, he's never said this about Tua. And it's just annoying. And I hate it. And I want to cry.
Justin Herbert's a dude. That's the problem.
Man,
the
he's good.
No, the dude went after just an average guy.
That game was on NFL Network last night. Just watching Herbert make these throws. Oh. That was what made me do it, too. I was like, yeah, this is not Tua.
You know how much I love Tua more than my own daughter.
Right.
Yeah, we know.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jules. But I don't love you as much as I love Tua. But I'm starting to be afraid that Tua is also just a guy.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This is stunning. Just the cracking of the ribs has created a just a guy.
Seeing all the other quarterbacks.
So it wasn't losing 59-10 in Buffalo last year. It was having his ribs cracked by Jesse Davis.
It's just, I'm done lying to myself.
Good.
I feel like to start this season, I've just been saying, because I want him to be good, that he's good. And then I'm looking around the league, and he's just not.
This seems cruel to me that cracked ribs is, I mean, you've been supporting this guy. You didn't want Deshaun Watson. All of these people we have brought you, all of these better, these upgrades, you have declined them all. And now the cracking of the ribs is what makes you, are also, and forgive me, I called it, it's the panic meter. They have set off,
yes,
on WTTKM. They are trying to kill Max. The panic meter is different than whatever the panic alarm. I think those are two different things. So we're there. We're officially there. It's cracked. Wait. It's cracked ribs. Tua, we're there.
Wait, hold on a second. Because I asked Chris yesterday, Chris, would you want Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback? The Dolphins should trade for him. Yesterday you said no. Today you were saying.
I believe that was an off-air conversation.
I want Jimmy G over to
him. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's over. Do you want Brissett over to him?
I just want a quarterback. All I know.
You can have mine.
If Jacoby doesn't play well in the first half this Sunday, we got Reed Sinnett as the backup.
Oh my God.
That guy looked good in the preseason. If he jogs onto the field, I'm going to get that feeling again that I got for Jacoby Brissett. You never know. You never know who's jogging onto the field right now.
The feeling you got for Jacoby Brissett is he was going to be Tom Brady replacing Drew Bledsoe.
I just said what if. It wasn't I think this is going to happen. It was, you know what? It could happen.
No, you know what? You threw it.
Thursday, Chris.
This was Thursday. It needs to be stated for the record because you might see this tomorrow on YouTube when he's with Mike Schur. He was loaded up on so many gummies on that Thursday night thing that we did.
When the Dolphins get their ass kicked, they need something, okay?
He was loaded up. The Sunday night thing that we did after the Dolphins, he was cross-eyed the way Stugatz was. It's different analysis. It's the gummy analysis. I saw Jacoby Brissett and I thought he was Tom Brady.
I didn't think he was Tom Brady. I thought to myself, what if he's Tom Brady? That would be amazing.
I love that series on Disney Plus.
We're on a hot streak.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.